Well, welcome everyone. It's so great to have you all here today. Good to see a few new faces again. great to see the familiar faces. Let's hold it up. Let's say it together like we always do. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I'll strive to live as it says I should live. It contains the written word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I boldly stand upon and claim the promises and the hope found within. Well, you know, last week I left you with a lot of information about seeing and living your life through eyes of fear. And we talked about the negative effects that that has on you in your life. And I promised this week, I said, you know, it's kind of like one of those cliffhangers. I said, this week I'm going to show you the other side of that. And we're going to talk about the benefits of seeing and living our lives through eyes of faith. And I have to say, you guys, I love this message series that we've been on for several weeks now. There's something about that name. And, of course, that's the name of Jesus. And we can't talk about him enough. Every week we need to talk about him because he's really what it's all about. We don't get to God except through him. And so he's our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And I got to tell you guys, here at Basic Truth, all of us, we're so passionate about helping everyone that we come into contact with to draw closer to him and closer to each other as well. With that said, I want to ask you a question. Now, I don't feel like there's any pressure to raise your hand here. I mean, you can raise him if you want to. You know, if you don't love Jesus, don't worry about raising it. I'm kidding. I do. I want to ask you a question, though, seriously. How many of you feel like not only your knowledge, but also your faith and your trust in God is growing? How many of you feel like that in your life? Yeah, look at that's amazing, right? I mean, that's why we're here. That's what it's all about. You know, we were here the other night. I was playing pickleball, actually, and I was between games. I was sitting back there, and I looked over at the wall at our faith box, and I said, you know what? This would be a good week to bring that back up because a lot of people, you know, are new, and maybe you haven't participated in that. and so I thought, let's make sure that everybody has a chance. So when you were given in or came in today, we're probably asked, if you weren't, let us know. But were you given a chip, anybody that didn't have one? So you're probably given a little chip, a little poker chip, and a paper that talks about faith categories. And if you look over right behind Matt there on the wall, there's a little box, and it has each of those categories. And on your paper, it tells you what they are. And what that really does, it describes your walk with Jesus. Now, you weren't given, you might say, why were you given that? Well, of course we want to judge you, right? No, I promise that's not it. Here's why you were given that. You were given that so that you can start thinking about, you know, where are you on this faith journey? You need to be thinking about that. And the reason you do, it is the most important journey that you will ever take in your life. The faith journey with Jesus. It's honestly, I swear not to judge you, boy, I'm having a, but actually it's for us as a church to kind of gauge how we're doing. We can look at that over there and we can say, we have too many people on the left. We're not doing a good enough job of helping people in their faith journey. But if we're moving more toward the right, that's what we're looking for. And it's also for you. Those of you that did this months ago when we did it, you know where you put your chips. Not your chip, but it's in a certain category. If you've grown, which I hope you have, you might say, hey, today's a good day for me to take it from the category I put it in and move it to the new category. If, God forbid, you've backslidden, well, okay, but do that too, you know. And then we'll try to help, you know, move forward. But that's really what that's all about. So that leads me to another question. How many of you, you might say, you know what, Jim, I'm not really growing in my knowledge and my faith yet. I want to. And that's the question. How many of you, though, would say that maybe your desire to draw closer to God is increasing? Because that's the key, right? You got to have a desire before you're going to do something. And it's so important that we can help you find ways to help you draw closer to Jesus because, again, that's why we're here. I mean, if you guys, you can't see it like I saw it, but how many hands went up when you said you're increasing in faith? That's just amazing. That's what it's all about. Remember last week I talked about how important faith was to Jesus and God, and we shared some stories about how he responded to people's faith, because he does. Paul reminded us in his letter to the believers in Rome, he says the gospel shows us how God makes people right with himself. Now, how do you get right with God? God's holy. We're sinners. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How do you get right with him? Well, Paul says you do it. It begins and ends with faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus, because Jesus is the bridge. You don't get to God except through Jesus on that cross. So, he says, how do you get right with God? It begins and ends with your faith, and it's in Jesus, and that's the scriptures say, but those who are right with God will live by that faith. And then we looked at Hebrews 11:6 last week, and it says, without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. I mean, that should be our goal. So I said it last week. I'll say it again. I'll probably say it again next week and on and on. Faith is a big deal to God. And it needs to be a big deal to us too. So if faith is such a big deal to God, let's try to understand just a little bit more of what faith is. And sometimes I find it's easier to understand what faith is by talking about what it isn't. Faith is not bargaining with God. And I've been at this table. Faith is not saying, God, if you do this, I promise you, I'll do that. That's not faith. You know, that's gambling a little bit. God's not a gambler. I mean, he's not Kenny Rogers. Some of you get that reference, right? You got to be old like me to get that. Faith isn't a feeling. That's another thing people think. Faith's a feeling. You know, it's like on a warm summer evening on a train bound for nowhere. Huh? Now you got it. The old Kenny reference. But it's important to understand that faith's not a feeling, because feelings can actually get in the way of faith. And we all struggle with that. Oh, you know, I feel really strong about this. I think this is what God's telling me to do. I feel really strong. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But if you go by your feeling, it can lie to you. And you end up doing something that God doesn't want you to do at all. And we rely on our feelings more than our faith. Faith says, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing in spite of my feelings. That's faith. So this week, just like last week, the main thing that I want you to understand when we think about faith in our lives is, whose perspective are you looking through? Is it yours or is it God's? We need to see. Faith is all about seeing from God's point of view, not ours. You know, last week I talked about how God's people were rescued from the slavery in Egypt, and they were led right up to the very edge of the promised land, and how they didn't enter because they looked through eyes of what? Fear, right? They looked through eyes of fear, and to them, when they saw the giants and the people, they said they're just too big. And that's a problem with so many of us today. We're looking through eyes of fear and not enough through eyes of fear, of faith. And like God's people so many years ago, our problems become like giants in our lives because we're looking from the wrong perspective. And we talked about, and this is my last part of my review, but we talked about at least four things, if you guys remember, that can happen when people look at their lives through eyes of fear and not faith, not God's perspective, but their own. We said, for one thing, it exaggerates your difficulties. They become bigger, your problems. Second thing is we underestimate our own abilities. Remember what the people said about themselves? We look like grasshoppers. We get discouraged. And the fourth thing, we give up and blame God. And when that becomes our view of our world, I promise you, whether you know you're doing this or not, you associate those fears and those failures with who you are, with your identity. And next thing you know, you start believing it. And you forget who God says you are. But the Bible says, when we start living our lives and seeing everything by faith, something amazing, guys, happens. Amazing. Our lives change. And our dreams, they become big dreams. We dream big dreams, things we never thought were possible in our lives. And I don't care if you're 8 or 80 or 9 or 90, it doesn't matter. You start to change. Dream big dreams. You know, we learn to see God's vision and not always look at things as they are, but we look at things as how they could be. That's what God wants us to see. So today we're going to continue on in this concept of faith as seeing from God's point of view instead of seeing with eyes of fear. And I'm going to show you who you are in Christ. I'm going to show you four positive things, not negative like last week, four positive things that can happen in your world when you see it through eyes of faith. But before I do, I want to clarify something. I struggled with this week in this message. I mean, I tell you, I went through it, and I just kept stepping back and stepping back because I struggled with this. I said, Jim, you got to make sure this is clear. We've said it many times. Faith is believing. It is. It's what you believe. And everyone who is saved must believe in Jesus and his finished work on that cross. Otherwise, you're not saved. That's just a point of fact. But I have to point out, guys, it's the power of Jesus that saves you. It's not the power of your faith that saves you. Faith is just the instrument. The power is in Christ. Don't ever misplace that. Well, I had so much faith. I don't believe God didn't do what I wanted him to do. There should be power in that. There is power in that. And it goes right to Jesus. And they decide what the blessing is, not you. So I want to make sure we understand that. Power of Jesus is saved, not the power of faith. Faith is only the instrument. It's not the power itself. In other words, the value of someone's faith doesn't come from the one who expresses it. Oh, that Jim, he's got great faith, great power in his faith. And that may be true, I have great faith. But it comes, my faith, the power from that, only comes from the object upon which it rests, which is who? Jesus. Yours needs to be the same way, and I know it is. So, with that said, the first thing that happens when we see through eyes of faith is faith actually shrinks our problems. Last week we said fear exaggerates them and makes them bigger. Faith does the opposite. We begin to open the eyes of our heart and we see things from God's point of view. It shrinks our problems. You know why? Because you have a different perspective. It's not your same perspective of fear. Remember last week we talked about Elisha's servant? He wakes up and he looks out and he sees they're surrounded by this army and there's chariots and soldiers everywhere. And he says, what are we going to do? What did Elisha do? He prayed. And he prayed that God would open his spiritual eyes, the eyes of his heart. And he did, and he saw suddenly that the hills were covered with chariots of fire and angels. And he had a new perspective, and his fear was gone. Perspective, you guys, is so important. He had to see it from God's perspective, not the human perspective. He was seeing from God's point of view. You know, when we go out in the world and we look through eyes of fear, we make our God small. And when you have a small God, guess what your problems get? They get big. But when you have a big God, your problems get smaller. Imagine this. I don't know if you've ever done this, but go to the Lord and just say, you know what, God, I'm going to take this to heart. I heard Jim talk about it today. I've read it in the Word. I'm going to take it to heart. You're a big God. You can handle this problem. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm tired of carrying it around. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to just let you work it out. I'm trusting you completely because I'm seeing through eyes of faith. Imagine you do that. And maybe, I'm sure some of you have. Somebody's going to look at you if you tell them that, and they're going to say, you're crazy. How is that going to solve your problem? You know? How is that going to solve your problem? You know what you do? You look at them and you say, well, that's up to God. Because it's his problem now, right? I just gave it to him, and I trust that he's going to handle it. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we do that? Because if you can, I promise you, it's liberating. Man, you just don't carry that burden anymore. That's up to God. I gave it to him. Faith shrinks my problem. But here's the million-dollar question. Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that? Do you have faith in that? Do you live like you believe that? Genesis 18:14 asks the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And it's rhetorical, of course. The answer is no. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Jesus says in Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. And I ask you again, church, do you really believe that? Thank you, Bill. Because when you really believe that and you see through eyes of faith, it will shrink your problems. They won't go away, but they'll become smaller because the perspective changes. The second thing that happens when you see through eyes of faith is faith moves mountains and opens doors for a miracle. And I got to be honest with you. I hear that term miracle. We had some friends over the other night, and I was asking them. I said, "Do you guys believe miracles still happen?" And emphatically, they go, "Absolutely, yes." And they shared some stories in their life about, you know, big miracles. And I said, "What about just the mundane and the everyday?" And then they shared some stories of that, and they were just emphatic, absolutely. But for me, sometimes that's a tough one. I'm not going to lie to you, because I've prayed for probably more than my share of miracles, and I've not very often seen them come to pass the way that I've prayed for them. Does anybody have that story? Yeah, we all do, right, to some extent. But I got to tell you something. At the end of the day, that song we sang, and this, I believe in this book. I believe in the words in this book. I trust in God. I trust in His Word. Because here's the deal. If when you read this, you'll read about things that God does for the people, His people. And here's what you're going to find. Every time that God moves on this earth and there's a miracle that occurs, either big or small, every time it's because somebody believed. Amen? Somebody believed. Faith opens the door to miracles. You know, Mark 11, Jesus said this, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And I'm like, huh? Really? Whatever we ask for, huh? I'm like, that's not been my experience. And then my perspective changes. And I realized that it was done, just not the way I wanted it to be done. So those words are true. But you're like, really? Telling a mountain to jump into the sea? I mean, is that really going to happen? You know, in this day and age, the scientists will tell you that the laws of nature say, no, that's not going to happen. That's 100% correct that it's not going to happen. But we have to understand, you guys, God has set up this universe with a hierarchy of laws. And here's the deal. The law of faith is a higher law than the laws of nature. Because that's where miracles live. That's where miracles come in. It's the law of faith, not the law of nature. You see, when someone calls upon their faith, the law of faith moves right to the front of the line. The law of nature, it's back here. The law of nature exists in the natural. Does God exist in the natural? He's supernatural. Do we live like we have this supernatural contact? We don't. That's my point here today. He's supernatural. If you want to see miracles, you got to believe in that. The law of faith moves to the front of the line, and it's supernatural. And I'm asking you again, do you believe that? Because if you're struggling with believing that truly, that there's a supernatural realm, the spiritual realm, where things happen, if you're struggling believing that, then there's your problem. Right there, it's unbelief. Look at the verse on the screen, Matthew 13. Jesus is in his hometown. Jesus. I mean, no one's higher than Jesus, right? Jesus is in his hometown. The Bible says Jesus did what? Read that word for me. Did not. Jesus did not do many miracles there. You know why? Was it because he couldn't? I mean, all his power was taken away. It wasn't as powerful, I'll tell you that. And remember, he's in the flesh. But he didn't do it because of their what? Read it. Lack of faith. Their lack of faith. Their lack of faith caused Jesus to not do many miracles. And if you're sitting there thinking, you know, well, you know, I don't see many miracles in my life either, Jim. I'm going, I wonder why. Their lack of faith. Faith is the key, you guys. Faith is a big deal. Does that mean that whatever we ask for in faith, God will do? No, it doesn't mean that. That's not what it means. Here's the deal. The blessing's up to Him. The faith is up to who? It's up to you. And you have to trust that the blessing is what you need. This is where I struggled with losses in my life. You guys have heard me say the boo, boo, hoo, poor Jim. You've heard me say this so many times, but it's true. This is where I struggled. But it all comes down to trust. The scripture says, if you have faith and you don't doubt, you can say to the mountain, go move into the sea, and the mountain will move into the sea. Is that literal? Well, I suppose it could be. I mean, what do we see when the Israelites were fleeing Egypt? God went up to the Red Sea, and Moses, you know, held up his staff, and the waters parted, and the people walked across on what? Dry ground, just like that. Is it literal? It could be. But I believe in most of our lives. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't speak for you. Any of you moved a mountain lately? Right? See, I believe in our lives it's probably more metaphorical than it is literal. I'm not saying it couldn't be literal. Does God still perform miracles today? Of course he does. Are we going to see miracles in our lives today? I believe we already have. I believe you do every day. I don't know if it was Steve, or is that you that was telling me that? He goes, well, I got up this morning, right? You know, my question for you guys, is there a mountain? I mean, if so, you need to identify it for yourself. You need to know what it is. And here's the real question. Do you have faith that God can move it? Because that's the key. God is in the mountain moving business, whether you know it or not, but you must not doubt, according to Jesus. Faith opens the door for miracles. Are you seeing with eyes of fear, or are you seeing with eyes of faith? You know, there's a story I've shared here before, but we have enough new people, I'm going to share it again. It's about a group of believers who lacked mountain moving faith. And the story goes that one summer, a drought threatened their crop in this small community, and on a hot and dry Sunday, the preacher looked at the congregation and he said, this mountain has gotten big enough. He said, the mountain's big enough. It's time for each of you to go home and pray and believe, no doubt, in full faith that God will send rain. He goes, and you come back next Sunday ready to thank God for sending rain. And so the people went home. And they returned to church the following Sunday, but guess what? It still hadn't rained. And as soon as the preacher saw them, he was heartbroken. He looked at them and he said to them, he goes, we can't worship today. You don't believe yet. You don't have enough faith. And they're all going, but, and they protested, but we prayed, preacher. We prayed just like you said we could. And we do believe. And the preacher looks at him, he goes, believe? If you truly believe that your prayers for rain will be answered, he goes, I have one question and one question only for you. Where are your umbrellas? Amen? Where are your umbrellas? The blessing, guys, is up to God, but the faith is up to us. And the question is, do you have umbrella faith? The reality is this, whether we feel it or not, faith shrinks our problems, and it does move mountains and opens the door for a miracle. The third thing that happens when we look through eyes of faith is faith moves God to act on our behalf. And this is one I struggled with. I struggled with this one this week. I had to kind of massage this because, again, don't get me wrong. When I say that faith moves God to act on our behalf, I just want to be clear. I do not believe and I don't subscribe to the health and the wealth and the prosperity theology. I don't. Because what happens when we do that? This is where God becomes our servant. And we're not his anymore. You know, I think people have so many versions of this theology where they think God is just some genie in a bottle, right? And I'm going to pick him up, and if I rub him like this, I get three wishes. And then what happens is when the wishes don't come exactly the way they wanted them to come, they get frustrated. They go, well, this must not be true. Faith really doesn't get God to act on my behalf. Well, let me just tell you, first of all, God's not your genie. God is God and you're not. And that's the question, or what Jim Bainey had to learn. He's not there to cater to our every whim. He's just not. But at the same time, you say, wait a minute, Jim, I read my scripture. Matthew 29, Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Now, how do you reconcile that? According to your faith, has everything that you believed in happened for you? No, I can answer that if you already know the answer. No. Not at least the way you wanted it. According to your faith, it will be done for you. God is basically saying in that scripture, look, you get to choose how much I bless your life according to your faith, how big it is, how much faith you have and whom you place your faith. That's up to you. And you know, in spite of some of the losses, you guys, that I've had personally in my life, and man, this one rocked me. I'm not going to lie to you. But I would still look at you and I would say, God has blessed my life abundantly, more than I deserve. And you know, you want to know why I believe that God's blessed my life? Let me just say for certain, it's not because I deserve it, because I don't. It's not because I work harder than most of you. If you work with me, you know that's not true. It's not because I'm smarter than everybody else. Again, if you've been around me, you definitely know that's not true. It's not because I've known Mike Bucher for so long that his amazingness is rubbing off. If you know Mike Bucher, you know that's not true. In fact, it's not because of any human thing at all. God has blessed me abundantly and worked in my life because in spite of everything that's happened, man, I've gotten knocked down, I've had my moments, but in spite of everything that's happened, I still expect him to bless me, and I hold to his promises, and I have faith that his word is true. And according to your faith, it will be done to you. And I look at my life, and I just have so many blessings. I'm not going to sit here and list them all, but so many. But here's the deal, guys. I want to tell you this. If you expect God to do a little in your life, that's what he's going to do. He's going to do a little. If you expect God to do a lot in your life, and you have faith that he will, that's what he's going to do. He's going to do a lot. But if you don't expect God to do anything, he won't do anything. There's another story, and I'm kind of recycling stories this week, but man, these just jumped out at me because they're so appropriate for the message. Tells about a storm, kind of the opposite of the other one. This one brought a flood. And if you've heard it, bear with me. It's worth repeating. As the floodwaters rose, the local preacher kneeled in prayer on the church porch because now the waters are up to the porch. And pretty soon, one of the town folk comes by in a canoe. Better get in, preacher. The waters are rising fast. No, says the preacher, I have faith in the Lord. I prayed, and I know that because I prayed in faith, he will act on my behalf, and he will rescue me. And still the waters rose. Pretty soon, the preacher's up on the balcony. Church pews are flooded. He's wringing his hands in earnest prayer. Another guy zips up in a motorboat. Come on, preacher, we need to get you out of here. The levee's going to break any minute. And once again, the preacher is unmoved. I shall remain. I have faith in the Lord that he will see me through. He will act on my behalf. And a short time later, just as the man said, the levee breaks. And floodwaters rush over the entire church. And the only thing that remains above the water is the steeple. And the preacher had managed to climb up there. And he's hanging precariously to the cross. And a helicopter comes through the storm. A voice calls down, grab the ladder, preacher. This is your last chance. And once again, the preacher insists the Lord will deliver him. And you can guess what happens. He drowns. So the preacher now, he goes to heaven and he sees God and he asks him, Lord, I had unwavering faith in you. I prayed that you would act on my behalf, just as your word says. Why didn't you deliver me from the flood? And God shakes his head and says, my son, what else did you want me to do? Say it with me. I sent two boats and a helicopter. And sometimes we miss the miracle, don't we? We miss it. You know, I did with Joni. I'm just going to share something with you. It's very personal for me. The miracle I wanted, you know, was to heal her. She has no reason medically she should be gone. I still struggle with that. But the miracle is, in a moment, she's changed in a moment, and she is in heaven with her husband, with my mom and dad, right? Amen? That's the miracle. And she claimed it right then and there. Wasn't my miracle, but it's hers. Now you tell me, but that's what awaits every one of us who believe. That's the miracle. And sometimes we miss it. We miss it, and maybe it wasn't what we wanted, but it was what God wanted for us, and it was what he knew was best for us. And sometimes we miss it. How often does that happen, you guys, in our lives? How often don't we see the real miracles right in front of us? Church, hearing that story today, I want to stretch you and challenge you, because I don't want you to be satisfied just waiting in the shallows of life. That's not what we're here for. I want you to take a deep dive of faith. I want you to challenge yourself to believe God for more than you've ever believed him for before, ever in your life. And while you're doing that, if it doesn't happen the way you want or expect, don't be like the preacher in our story and miss the miracle that God provided right in front of you. We have to understand, you guys, something. God is like parents that love to give his kids gifts. He loves to provide for us. And when he gets to do that, you know what I believe he says? I believe he looks and he goes, that's my girl right there. See her? She's being exactly who I made her to be. Or she looks at one of the men or the guys. She goes, that's my boy right there. He's being exactly who I made him to be. Bible says God takes pleasure in the success of the saints. But here's where it starts. According to your what? Faith. It will be done to you. Your faith. So I ask you, what is it that really moves God to act on our behalf? He's not moved by our griping. He's not moved by our complaining, our grumbling, or whining. We're not going to like be mad enough, and he's going to say, okay. Now, he allows that. He doesn't. It's okay. He's a big God. But he's not moved by that. I've stood up here and told you, I was angry. I shook my fist at God. So what, Jim? It doesn't move God. He's not moved by yours or, you know, anybody's amazing accomplishments. God is moved when we say, God, I'm trusting you. And because of that trust, I'm expecting you to keep your promise. You put your name on that promise, and I'm trusting and expecting you to do it. You see, faith moves God to act on my behalf and on your behalf. But it's his timing and his way. Fourth and final thing that happens when we see through eyes of faith is very personal to me. And I know some of you. You've relied on it so much lately. I still am. Faith gives us power to hold on in the tough times, doesn't it? That's where it comes from. Faith doesn't always take you out of the problem. You don't need me to tell you that. I mean, my goodness, most of us have experienced that more than once. But here's the deal. While faith doesn't take you out of the problem, faith will always help you through the problem, doesn't it? I mean, how do you do it without it? How do you go through it? I know what some of you guys have faced in your lives. How do you do that? How do you face that without God? How do you face the loss of a loved one, a spouse, a parent, a brother, a sister, a child, a friend? How do you face that without faith? Where do you get your hope from? Faith gives us power to hold on in the tough times. It doesn't always take away the pain, but it gives us ability to handle the pain. Faith doesn't make life heaven on earth. And you know, spoiler alert, it's never going to be heaven on earth in this place. Ever. Now, well, I mean, maybe later when Jesus comes back. You always have pain. You always have suffering. And Jesus, in fact, says it. And you know this. In this world, you will have trials. Faith gives you, though, the ability to handle those trials. Doesn't necessarily calm the storm, but it helps you calm you while you're in the storm. And that's what I need. Faith gives us the hope and power to hold on in tough times. It produces a perseverance. I mean, the Bible says that. It gives you the ability to bounce back. I mean, nobody goes through life with an unbroken chain of successes. Mike Booker is about as close as I know. But even he stumbles once in a while. Everybody has failures and flops and mistakes, and we all have struggles. And the people who make it are the ones who are resilient because of their hope and their faith. They're hopeful and not hopeless. What is it that keeps me going on? I'll tell you what it is. It's faith and hope. If I'm honest, it's a struggle, but at the end of the day, I want to see what God's going to do next. And you know what? I don't want to miss it. I want to see what God's going to do next, and I don't want to. I wonder, it's like, you know, is this the week, God? Is this the day that's going to change my life or maybe change someone else's life and I get to see it or maybe be a part of it? I've shared this story before in this context as well, a long time ago, but I like to close with it today. Some of you are like, oh, thank you. Yuri Gagarin. He was a famous Russian cosmonaut and a renowned atheist. In case you don't know, an atheist is someone who does not believe in God. They denounce God. He was the first man to go up in space and circle the earth. And after his flight, he said these words. True story, by the way. He says, I was an eagle. I searched the heavens and I found no God. I looked for God in the heavens when I was up there and I did not see him. And then just a few months later, John Glenn, and we all know John Glenn, who is a Christian, I mean, he's passed, but since he's a Christian, he went up and circled the earth three times. When John Glenn came down, you know what his first words were? I love this. He said, I saw God everywhere. I saw God everywhere. I felt his glory in the heavens. I saw his presence in the stars. I felt his power in the sun. I saw God everywhere. And I'm going to ask you, which one was telling the truth? The answer is they both were. They were both telling the truth because Jesus says in John 3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Yuri the atheist, he couldn't see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't see what God is doing behind the scenes. You haven't had the eyes of your heart, the spiritual eyes opened up. You can't see the miracles. You can't see the mighty things that he's doing. You can't see the promises. You know why? Because you have no relationship with the promise keeper. Amen? Boy, that was some good preaching. I'm going to say it again. I want more. You can't see the promises because you have no relationship with the promise keeper. Amen? Amen. Yes. Now it's better. Thank you. I put a lot of time in that one. The promises of God are something we don't want to miss out on. Paul reminds us. He says, for no matter how many promises God has made, Earl says it all the time, they're yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And did you catch that last part? Because that's key. His glory, not ours, right? That's why we don't always get what we want. The promises in Christ, the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen through us to the glory of God. You know, there might be somebody listening here today who's not stepped across that line and given your life to Jesus Christ. And if you don't do that, I have to tell you, you're not going to get any of this. It starts with a relationship with Jesus. And I sincerely don't want you or anyone to miss out on the promises of God that are available to you. They're amazing. And the amazing thing also is they don't cost anything. For us, that price has been paid by Jesus. It only requires that you believe that he died in your place as a sacrifice for your sins, and because of that, you now have a way to be in the presence of a holy God, and you receive the gift of eternal life with Jesus in heaven. But to truly believe that, guys, hear me when I say this. You've heard that story before, but to truly believe it, you need to start looking at your life through eyes of faith. Amen. Instead of eyes of fear. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to just change our life here in a moment. God, I thank you for that because it requires faith, and faith is free for us. Help us to have more faith. You know, the Bible says that, you know, like the man prayed to Jesus, he says, you know, yes, I have unbelief. Pray for my unbelief. He'll do that. Folks, he loves us so much that he wants us to have the abundant life that he promises. And he wants us to do it through eyes of faith. See all the miracles going on. When you leave here today, make a point. Lord, help us to see with the eyes of our heart. As we drive out of here today, we walk out, help us to see all the miracles that are around us and be encouraged by that. Because there's so many more that you want to bless us with. God, don't allow us to miss this anymore. And help us to help someone else open the eyes of their heart. God, we love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.